Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, podcast audience. This is Ken Hodge, and as always, I've got my right-hand partner, Robert Frost, and let's get ready for the Kenny and Rob podcast. Okay, Rob had a little difficulty. He's going to sign back in, but nonetheless, hey, listen, folks, we try to bring you information on courses of actions that you should take in the event that you ever become injured at work. We also try to inform you that don't rely on postal management to do the right thing. Sometimes they don't know, sometimes they don't care, but most times they don't do it right, at least in the little space in the post office that I operate from. Hey, Rob, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Sorry I'm late.
And you're never late because the podcast don't start till you get here. Because you just missed the opening, man. But I'll play that for you like 10 times tomorrow at work. What we're talking about is just reminding people that we try to provide them with information on how to file a claim should you get hurt. And also, you have to apply yourself a little bit, because the days of postal management doing the right thing if you get injured at work, I'm telling you, those days are slipping away. And they're slipping away largely because the supervisors really don't know. And I don't see, again, you can train a supervisor to do so many things, but, and I got to tell you, the manner in which supervisors are tasked today, if something is going to go lacking, it's not going to be their intent to increase productivity. That's never going to go lacking. But if you get injured at work and expect the supervisor to do the right thing to ensure you're compensated properly, well, that's a horse of a different color. And if they're just not going to do it, either they don't care or they don't know. But either way, we provide podcasts like this. Hey, Chris, is that you?
Yeah, it's me.
Okay, all right. Just checking in. Yeah, we provide podcasts like this so that we constantly give you information on courses of action you can take so that you can help yourself or you can help that supervisor help you. So with that being said, last night, and I'm kind of staying on task or on topic with this, last night I had a very interesting podcast. We talked about a employee who committed suicide. Now, mind you, if my regular callers, if callers call in with injury comp questions, we'll switch back to it. But my last Chris to join us tonight with Rob also, naturally, and we want to talk about that. And again, it kind of deviates a little bit from injury compensation with the CA-1, CA-10, but I think it's important that we talk about it. And just to give you a quick recap, now, and I got to say to you, this happened in the South, and I'm in the Midwest. So what I'm saying to you is the account given to me. And here's what happened. We had a situation where there was an employee, and I'm not going to keep saying allegedly, but again, this is the account that was given to me by another employee. Employee came to work, told their supervisor they had just taken 80 pills and were thinking of harming themselves. Well, the supervisor apparently took no action, and during that same conversation, it was told to me that the employee told the manager, I might shoot myself or shoot someone else. Again, based on the account, based on what was told to me, no action was taken. The employee went home and actually shot himself. Now, I got to say, we're going to point that finger, but we got to wave the whole hand on this one, because if that happened, there should be some kind of, I'm just kind of lost for words. There should be some kind of compensation. There should be some kind of something. Well, you know what? Let's not even talk compensation. Let's talk training to avoid it. Because based on, and I teach suicide prevention, but based on my account, when you come to me and tell me, this is your plan of action, how can I not take action on that? And again, I'm going to put that to the panel. Rob and Chris, if you guys could jump in on that, because I have a hard time understanding that.
So I'm happy to jump in. This is Chris. One of the things that has come to mind since I talked to you on the phone just a little while earlier, Mr. Hodge, is I used to work with a counselor, a licensed counselor. And I walked in on her one time, and she was talking to a guy. She was really gifted. She talked a guy over the phone into hypnosis, into a hypnosis state where he went to sleep instead of killing himself. And you know what she didn't do? She didn't hang up. What she didn't do is she didn't not take action. You know, she did something about it. And, the real crime here, not in a legal stance, but maybe, I don't know, what do I know about that, is that, you know, like you said, allegedly, and I don't want to say it either, but somebody was made aware of this and did nothing. And, just the last time I was on the phone with you, I was talking about management and, you know, the way management should behave. This is not how management should behave. If a person calls you and says, I have a specific plan, your next call is three numbers on the phone. It's not that hard. You know, you've got to make the call. You can't, hate your employees so much or whatever the word is, if it's not hate, that you can't save their life. Nobody asks for this, or nobody makes a call and says, I'm going to kill myself or somebody else, without wanting you to stop them. And so, I'm appalled by this today. I may rant, and that may not be appropriate for this topic, but, I mean, really, what's the penalty? I'd love a lawyer to be on this call. What's the penalty for somebody who hears a specific thing like this and does nothing? This could have been avoided. And that's all I can think of. It could have been avoided, Mr. Hodge.
This is Rob. And also, that supervisor knows or should know the post office offers counseling. All he had to do is look up the number and call him and put him in touch with this guy or girl or whoever it was. That's what he should have done.
Well, and you said training too, Mr. Hodge. You mentioned training more than compensation because I agree. We can train to prevent multiples of these in the future. But as I said to you earlier, the Postal Service is one of the highest employers for veterans. Well, everybody knows veterans see a lot of stuff, and we all know veterans who come to work for the Postal Service or other federal agencies, and they have PTSD. That's a real thing. It actually happens. I mean, these are warriors, the toughest of the tough, the hardest of the hard. But they come back, and this thing takes a toll sometime. Exactly. And so if you don't have something in place to assist, this is going to be a thing that potentially could show its head over and over again.
And
there's going to be a plan for this.
And that's my cry. My cry right now is to the point of, and I don't want to sound cavalier with it. Hey, sister, how you doing this evening? Calling in from Ohio. I'm going to get to you. Give me 1 second. My cry is how do we stop this? This could have been prevented. And I think that it goes back to training, awareness. And so I hope, I really do. I hope they get on top of this and just understand that it happened. And again, I don't know any legal ramifications, if there are any. But at the very least, it happened. And what can we do to minimize or eliminate this from happening again? Hey, caller, I got a caller calling in tonight, Chris. I told her we had the subject matter expert on our podcast tonight. So, hey, sister, go ahead and ask the questions you want to ask.
That's not me.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know what topic we want. I don't want to just ask any question. I have many.
Well, again, no, if you. again, if it's injury compensation, this is the podcast for it. Doesn't matter the topic.
Okay.
Room.
I just wanted to know, I had an injury at the post office, and the guy who hit me was, they gave him a good 5-year driver's reward. I just didn't understand that. I had a problem with that.
That is so true. That happened, and when they told me that, I couldn't even believe that. And let me just add a little bit to that, if you don't mind. Not only did they give him an award, but the person that's speaking right now is still going through heartache from her injury. That the post office, that I don't think that they took care of her properly anyway. So what were some of the things that you went through when that happened?
Lost pay. I didn't know how to fill out the compensation work, so... when I tried to put it in, I was denied pay. Just a lot of runarounds. I was kicked out the building. It was a couple things. I was kicked out the building because I was using a cane, but they use canes every day in there. It was a lot. I got no questions answered. Huh?
And all this while getting hurt at work.
Yeah.
So again, the fact that was a limited duty injury. They treated it like it was a light duty injury, meaning you got hurt off work. But again, just the litany of things that you just mentioned is why we do what we do on Tuesday night on Haas to Haas, and Wednesday night, Chris and Jeannie do a live Facebook injury comp. This is why we're out here doing what we do, because that's horrible. You get hurt at work and nobody's there to answer any questions for you. Are you still going through treatment now?
Yeah, I'm
and how long ago was this?
This was in 2017, the end of 12th month of 2017.
So if you was off work for that injury, that's less than 2 years ago, can we still file for to get her money back? Chris?
So, yeah, I mean, 3 years is a limit. So anything that's done within 3 years is eligible to get all the benefits, all of them. It's all a matter of getting a claim accepted. Once a claim is accepted, if it was timely filed, in other words, within 3 years, a timely filed claim that's accepted pays benefits, period. Now, at that point, we have to prove that the benefits are warranted, but that's a formality. I mean, the real big thing is getting a case accepted and filing it on time.
Okay, I have now been accepted, and I have
congratulations. You're the one.
Paper. Yeah, I've now been accepted. They have accepted the injuries, and I have also learned myself how to fill out the paperwork, so I'm moving further with it. It was just the fact that was a crucial time, so there were some other things that happened that, you know, I can't really get back on. So I've been working with someone trying to further this. I just want this to be known because I was hit buy some equipment, and I just think it was unfair because if you're in a car accident and you get hit, you know, just with a car alone, you know, I was hit from the back. I didn't even see what happened to me, and I had to sit up and write an accident report of what I, at my best knowledge. But it was just done all unfairly. It was a bad time. I didn't get my compensation number to even allow me to get to an injury doctor in the proper timing. So it was all jacked up.
Yeah, so that's everybody's story. But the fact that you got an accepted claim set you apart from almost everybody else. Only one out of 13 federal employees has an accepted claim every year. So you're the one.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Why I said that. Good job for you. Congratulations. So now the key is getting your doctor to write good reports and give you the right documentation so you can access all of your benefits. And Mr. Hodge, you're welcome to give any callers my personal information. I'm happy to help with that. And anything else like that.
And can I interrupt a moment?
Sure.
Yeah.
Kenny, I'm going to pat you and me on the back because that makes two long-term people who got accepted. I just was informed today.
Congratulations.
That one of our other almost 3 years from her date of entry, got it accepted with her, and got her claim number.
Was that the issue with
the... No more denied claims.
Is that the issue with the vaccine pass?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you very well.
Oh, is that the issue of the employee who they won't let work because of the vacuum?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Hey, are we good, sister? You got any more questions?
No, I appreciate you. Thank you. I'm good. I'm listening. Thank you.
But again, yeah, I'm going to give you Chris's phone number when I see you at work tomorrow. And trust me, I know you are not going to let me forget.
You better know.
Excellent.
I already know. Hey, let me just bounce. Since we're here and we're just brainstorming, let me bounce something else off you, and then we're going to go back to the suicide as we close out. We're in an organization where I have employees, well, there's two employees who are not being allowed to come to work because they can do every function of their job except carry this new piece of equipment, 12-pound vacuum cleaner, on their back while they vacuum the work floor. One of them went to fill out a claim in the, again, because it happened a little while ago. They just actually put him out of work recently, but they filled out a claim and the supervisor wouldn't take the claim. What happened with that, Robert?
The lady took her claim to the supervisor to have the supervisor fill out the supervisor portion and sign the receipt. Supervisor refused, said it was over the 30-day limit.
There's that 30-day limit again.
Yeah.
Well, and go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And I want to point out one thing. On the CA-10, it does say there's a 30-day limit. So
well, for COP.
For what, but it doesn't
right.
say that.
Yeah, so on the CA-10, it's referring to COP. You have to report your
right.
CA-1 injury within 30 days in order to get or be eligible for continuation of pay. That's the 30 days.
Right.
There is
right.
nothing else in OWCP about 30 days. And even with that, without the COP, when you get your claim accepted, you can, you know, use a CA-7 and get paid. So what? Yeah. So they're reading the 30-day thing, and they're just they're kind of perverting it, making it mean something it doesn't.
Hey, welcome.
I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. This is the lady that just got her claim approved. We worked around the supervisor and sent it in. So.
Okay. Good evening, caller. Okay, that's fine. If you want to listen, that's we'd love to have you with us. But this is what had me on that cake last week, Chris, trying to find out and get information on what actions we take when they won't take the claim. And when you just think about it, that's not money out of their pocket. Why would you put yourself liable for delaying a request for benefits when it's not even your money that you're... That doesn't make any sense to me, but it happens way more often than not.
Hey, Ken.
Yes.
I was under the impression it is money out of their pocket.
No. See,
because
go ahead.
Don't they get a bonus at the end of the year for having an injury-free workplace?
I mean, I'm sure that in their, whatever they call their bonuses now, that might be a factor. But no, those factors don't really impact their MPA, is what I think they call it. Because, again, their MPA is based on their productivity and things of that nature. Now, grievance money is one of them, but no, injury compensation dollars, no. Because you got to remember,
okay.
You can possibly, I can get hurt on tour one and go take that claim to a tour three supervisor, and they're just processing papers. You know what I'm saying? So, no, if they think that, then they really need to sit down a little bit and take another look at what makes up their MPA.
Okay. And can I ask one other question here? This is for Chris. Now, the caller that was just speaking to us, it's been since 2017, and the other lady that we got her number for was 2015, I think, 2015 or 2016. Now, is there a way for them to get back pay? Because they've been off work.
So you can
one of them at least has been off work.
Yeah, so once your claim is accepted, you can go back and get paid for any time you were away from work. So let's say you took leave without pay because you ran out of sick and vacation time. You can always go back and collect your LWOP anytime you were gone because of this. But, you know, one of the things everyone's got to be aware of is the CA-17, the duty status report. When the doctor sends you back to work with restrictions, go to work. Because if you don't go to work, you won't get paid. And so this happened today. There's a lady that I know of that had a CA-17 and severe restrictions. And she thought that the supervisor would not honor the restrictions. So she can make the supervisor send you home.
And that's what we have.
Otherwise, you don't get paid.
Yeah, that's what we have. We're currently working on a case like that where, again, they got the CA-17. It's so funny because the doctor checked off. They can perform every aspect of their job, minus putting a 12-pound pack on their back. And the Postal Service let them home. And they've been out of work over 3 weeks now. And I just think that is I can't even justify that kind of stuff.
So that's a terrible thing, but if the Postal Service sends them home, they're getting paid because the doctor tried to send them to work. And so now your only documentation you need is your supervisor sending you home.
Could I add something?
Okay. Sure, go ahead.
Okay. When you say send them home, I will advise anybody to have a $24.99 modified job offer to send to workers' comp, because if management will tell you they don't have anything, but if they don't send anything in writing, and the easiest thing for them to give you is the $24.99, simply stating no work is available. That way you can get your, you won't have problems getting your compensation. That was a problem we had in this.
That's exactly what I'm talking about, because you just need documentation for getting paid. Sending in a CA-7 all by itself will never get paid, ever. There's got to be supporting documentation.
And I also have a question. Well, it's okay. Can you define the job functions, or is it the same one, that the claims examiner, the case manager, and adjuster?
All right, so if you guys don't mind, I'm just going to keep answering these. So if I heard you right, you want to know the difference between those three job titles, right? Is that what you're asking, ma'am?
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so here's the good news. In federal workers' comp, there is no adjuster. The adjuster is the claims examiner. So the claims examiner makes all decisions regarding anything in the case, whether any therapies will be approved. They make the decision on whether cases will be approved. Claims examiners they're the coach. They're the quarterback. They're running the show. A nurse case manager, their job is to go into the doctor and see what's going on, status of the case. You know, is the patient making progress? Are they getting worse? What can we do to improve their ability to go back to work? So their two jobs are different, but there's no adjuster.
Okay, I got you. It's the nurse case manager. Okay.
Yeah, a nurse case manager will go into the office and coordinate with the doctor. Yeah. Oftentimes to your benefit, but sometimes they have their own motives, and so you got to be careful. You know, and sometimes that motive will close your case.
Okay.
Okay, can I ask the question since it got quiet? How much time are you given for like therapy and doctor's appointment when you're going to work?
So the rule is this, and especially in the post office, but the rule is that you have up to 4 hours of your work shift that can be allocated to doctor's visits, therapy, and so forth. The reason that is, I think, and I haven't seen this in writing, but is that if the doctor is open, say, 9 until 5, and that's
right.
your work shift, when can you ever go to the doctor? And so what they've done is they've made it possible for you to go to the doctor during your work shift, and you can be paid up to 4 hours of your day using a CA-7 to go to the doctor.
Okay, that's what I'm on now. I was asking to make sure, because I go to work. I'm working like 5 of the hours, you know, so I can get in there, get there in time, you know what I'm saying, and get it over with so I won't fall too much over my work schedule.
Yeah.
So I'm just asking that for sure. Okay.
Hey, Chris, should all those appointments for therapy be, if it's an on and off injury, be made during work hours?
So the question is, should those visits be made during work hours? Now, my opinion of that is based on, I was at an NALC meeting in Chicago, and this union president, his name is Carl, and Carl was, in my opinion, at that time, one of the few people I'd ever met that understood the system. He was really good. And Carl was very, very vocal with his group in telling them, you got hurt at work. Why are you going to the doctor after work? And so I'll pass on Carl's opinion.
Thank you.
See, that has always been my thought on the matter. Once it's a limited on-the-job injury, you've got to see an appointment. You've got to accept the case. Yeah, everything I'm going to do pertaining to that injury
what sucks about it, because I have to do it because it's during my work hours basically where I go and what works for me, my workers' comp injury doctor, I lose money. I only get 66% of my pay taking these therapy appointments. So I'm actually losing all the way. I'm losing as far as my body. I'm losing as far as my pay. It's just a lose-lose almost.
Right.
So that sucks. Because actually, I mean, that just sucks to me. It sucks that I was hit. It sucks that I get a 66% pay for some treatment that I definitely need, and I definitely need to do these hours. I couldn't do any more. It's exhausting. It sucks, the whole process.
The whole process does. You're right.
So while she's going to therapy, she's getting, what, 66% of her pay?
Yeah.
Well, so that depends on numbers of the – sorry, it depends on the number of dependents. It's either 66 and basically 67 or 75. And it depends on dependents.
None.
Right. And so
okay,
that's
I'm
why
still
you,
losing
if
pay.
You had
yes.
It's really not fair. If you had dependents, it'd be 75%.
They grown. I'm sorry. They grew up.
Well, that's the way that goes.
They hit me while they was grown. Now, if they hit me while they was little, I'll be all right. But they hit me while they was grown. So I lose.
Yeah.
I love, period. It sucks. It gives me an attitude. It sucks. It's not right.
But it's 67% or 75%, but they're not taking out taxes either.
Right.
I
That's
get
what
it,
the
but
other
still, I don't care. I don't want to see the lose. I don't want to see nothing. I know something's still lost. I just don't feel like it's too. I know it's what it is, but it's just to me.
Yeah, and again,
that's my opinion.
No, and in your opinion is what matters. You won't be talking about going outside of work hours. Again, if it's more beneficial to you as a patient to go when you go, then that's when you go. But I was just saying.
I have to go. My office closes at 5 o'clock, at 4 or 5 o'clock, and they ain't open on Fridays. And my off days is Thursday and Friday. So either way it go, I've got to take 2 of these days, work days, and I got to go to this therapy.
No, you're right. I hear you, sis.
Yeah, everybody's going to do whatever's in their best interest, and it's different for everyone. The good news is, for anybody that's listening, you have the ability to go during your work shift, but you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
If you can find an office you can go to outside of work, that's your right. And, you know, I'll tell you this. In my experience, people that don't have to fill out CA-7s have less hassle because they were on the clock instead of off the clock. And because once you got to start filling out CA7s to get paid, you need documentation. Mm-hmm. The only documentation you need to get paid on the clock is that you clocked in and did your job. And so there is something to be said for people just working their full shift and going to the doctor outside, but sometimes it's not possible.
Right.
Let me add to something about your back pay.
Okay.
The back pay, and I'm not sure that this actually applies to workers' comp, so if I'm not correct, Brother Hodge, correct me. When we start talking about the back pay, well, we know that we have corrective entitlements in the ALM that will pay you corrective entitlements up to 6 years. So if it gets it starts to get sticky and you having a hassle getting paid, back pay, because I'm actually going through that now. An old claim that was accepted in 2013, I'm still trying to get money from. So actually, it didn't get accepted until 14. So I'm trying to work it in the 6 year run. Making some progress, but not much. The thing about the nurse case manager, I wasn't clear on, and the adjuster that came up at the doctor's office. This is pretty much a contract facility for the Postal Service orthopedic clinic here in Memphis. It's obvious because this doctor actually wanted me to continue to see the doctor that referred me. And he agreed in his notes that he would keep me off work agree with the doctor to keep me off work as long as it's medically necessary. Then he returns me to work on the 6th of March, but I'm not able to. So I had to go back and go back and see the permanent care doctor. And how many doctors do they care? You big at specialists that you may have to see, and then the doctor that may have referred you to the specialist. You are allowed to have more than one physician. Is that true or not?
Well, you have one treating physician, but the treating physician can refer you to however many need to be referred out to get you better.
Okay. All right.
Hey, listen, folks, this is Ken Hodge from Hodge Podcast Radio. Again, I'd like to thank my brother Chris for stepping in tonight. Your level of expertise is always welcome on the Kenny and Rob Show.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Happy to help.
All right. Hey, everyone. Rob, any parting words tonight?
No, I think you
did
pretty well
today. I just
want to
say thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so hey, everybody have a wonderful evening. Oh, by the way, tomorrow night, if you want more, an even more in-depth conversation like we just had, hey, Chris, what time is your Facebook live show?
8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern.
8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. Man, check out Chris and Jeannie do a injury podcast show that you don't want to miss. Hey, everyone have a wonderful evening. And Rob, I'll see you tomorrow. And sister, I'll have
you hold on.
All right. All right, good night.